Good morning, Pine Lake. I want to welcome you to the kickoff of a summer mini-series by the title of Honor Code. And what we're going to be looking at is a pathway that frees up, unleashes, unlocks God's favor and blessing in our life. Anybody in the room like to have a little more blessing, a little more favor? Come on, just a little bit more. There may be those of you that are sitting out there and you're processing kind of where you are in this season of your life. Man, you really need God to do a miracle in your life. I mean, you need a turnaround. You need a change. You need a transformation. You need God to break something off of your life and to break in with something new in your life. I mean, you may be thinking, I need God to do something that I cannot do for myself. I need supernatural power to break into my heart and life. I mean, that kind of power that breaks chains. That kind of power that makes a way where there is no way. We're talking about God's power, that restoring power, Jesus healing power, Holy Spirit raising things from the dead power. Some of us know we need a supernatural touch from God. We need God's help. I found myself in 2009 leading an organization that needed God's help. We needed supernatural touch and favor. This was an organization that had been hindered by the previous administration, a moral collapse, a moral crisis which had spilled over into the entire organization in every measurable category. This place was just plummeting. Financially in the tank, two defaults on loans. They were robbing Peter to pay Paul just to make payroll. The product was outdated. Facilities were a mess. There was no new innovation. The morale of leadership was so low. One of the most well-respected leaders in the house leaned over to me and whispered in my ear, "I don't think this place can ever win again. Here are the keys. Good luck with all that." This place needed a divine infusion of God's favor. I mean, the organization was riddled with gossip. There was backstabbing, people throwing one another underneath the bus. It was just riddled with dishonoring behavior. But that same organization, within a two-year period, turned around to where it was recognized in back-to-back years by its industry for being a leader in performance. It was also a place where new donations started to infuse and set records for money that was coming in to support the cause. A whole new frontier of services was discovered. There were even highest marks they'd ever gotten in customer service. All of that turnaround, all of that infusion happened when we discovered one little principle defined by one simple word. Honor. It was such a home, organizationally, such a home to dishonor, dishonoring words and dishonoring actions. When we discovered and figured out we needed to turn and become a house of honor, then it opened the way for all of this supernatural favor to come showering in. And I'm telling you right now, one of the tipping points for some of you in seeing the breakthrough that you want and need is learning this principle of honor. One of the most interesting observations about honor comes out of the life and ministry of Jesus. Jesus had been doing ministry all across the Galilee, traveling town to town, doing miracles, changing people's lives. And we read in Mark chapter 6 that Jesus came to his own hometown. Now, you know, if he was doing miracles in all of these other places, when he came to his own hometown where he knew the people the best, he knew the needs the most, you know Jesus wanted to do incredible, powerful miracles, life-changing stuff in his hometown. However, in Mark chapter 6, we read this peculiar statement. He could not do any miracles there. What? Notice that. It doesn't say he would not. It says he could not. When you look at the passage in its broader context, you all of a sudden begin to see that the people in Jesus' hometown of Nazareth, they didn't believe in him. They didn't receive him. They did not honor him as a prophet, someone gifted to do God's work. In fact, the scripture says that they scoffed at him. He's just a carpenter. Isn't that Mary's boy? And Jesus openly lamented that a prophet is honored everywhere except his own hometown. Now take that in. Nazareth, the place that Jesus knew the best, probably of any place on the planet. This is where he wanted to work incredible miracles to bring life change and healing and help and hope. But he couldn't. Why? It's a lack of honor, which begs the question. How many miracles does God want to do in your life and my life? How many mighty things does God want to do in all of our lives, but it gets stopped because of a lack of honor? During this teaching, during this study, we're going to hear a call from the Scripture and a call from the Holy Spirit to be people of honor. And this morning, we want to get this started by talking a little bit about how to kind of crack the code for honor, which means we want to understand some basic things about what does honor mean. And then, guys, we've got to catch this incredible correlation between how our honor lines us up with God's favor, and then before the morning is over, I hope we have the courage to ask ourselves the question, am I an honorable person? This is what we got to work on. So let's get busy, all right? I want you to take your Bible and open with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. If you've got a print Bible, you can look in the table of contents, and there's a listing of the books of the Bible, Old Testament book, 1 Samuel. It'll give you a page number. You can turn right to it. If you've got your smartphone, you can go to a site like BibleGateway.com. You can type in 1 Samuel 2. It'll take you to our passage. Now, I do want to say by way of introduction, and this is not an oversell. It's the actual truth. This principle and rule of honor that we're going to talk about today is in the top three things I've ever learned from Scripture. Top three spiritual lessons. This has been revolutionary. It's a game changer in my life. And I want to credit John Bevere, who wrote a book several years ago called Honor's Reward. Some of you maybe want to pick that up if you're interested to explore this a little bit more. Honor's Reward. And he introduced me to how much the Bible has to say about honor. It starts all the way, you know, with the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother, but it spans all the way to the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation, where heaven's song is glory and blessing and honor and power. So no matter where we turn, wherever we cut the Bible, it just bleeds with this message of honor. We've got to take this in. We've got to hear the Holy Spirit calling us to be people of honor. Look, beginning in verse 12, chapter 2, 1 Samuel. It says, now the sons of Eli were scoundrels who had no respect, some translations read regard, recognition. As you're going to see, these are words we could easily substitute with honor. He had no honor for the Lord. There are even some translations that read here, there was no knowledge of the Lord. Honor was so lacking that there was nothing in their heart for God or for their duties as priests, verse 13 says. Now, the following verses describe some of their dishonorable behavior. We're going to go down to verse 17 where it makes this conclusion. So the sin of these young men was very serious in the Lord's sight, for they treated the Lord's offering with contempt. Verse 22. Now Eli was very old, but he was aware of what his sons were doing to the people of Israel. Verse 23, Eli said to them, I have been hearing reports from all the people about the wicked things you are doing. Why do you keep sinning? You must stop, my sons. Verse 25 says, but Eli's sons wouldn't listen to their father. Now, beginning in verse 27, we're now set up to see this moment of conversation between a man of God and Eli where he delivers a message from the Lord. Look at verse 27. Here's the message from the Lord. I revealed myself to your ancestors when the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt. I chose your ancestor Aaron from among all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer sacrifices on my altar, to burn incense and wear the priestly vest as he served me. And I assigned, look at that privilege, I assigned the sacrificial offerings to you priests. So why do you scorn my sacrifices and offerings? Why do you give your sons more honor than you give me? For you and they have become fat with the best offerings of my people Israel. Verse 30, this is the key verse. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel says, I promise that your branch of the tribe of Levi would always be my priest, but I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me. The time is coming when I will put an end to your family so you will no longer serve as my priest. Put your eyes once again on verse 30. The Lord acknowledges, I chose you. I assigned you a special privilege. I've promised you this position in my kingdom work. But I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me. Verse 30 gives us what we're going to call the rule of honor. And the rule of honor is just simply this. If we honor the Lord, then he will honor us. If we honor the Lord, then he will honor us. Now, guys, that is a big gulp. Take that in. If we honor the Lord, then he will honor us. If you take the word honor, just pull the word honor out. Let's think about what it means for just a second. When we talk about honor, this is what we mean by it. Honor first starts in what we think. It's what we think in our minds. We regard something or someone highly. We think a lot of them. And then that shapes how we speak about them, how we speak to them, and how we treat them. We will show them value because we think so highly of them. Think about somebody that you honor in your own heart and mind. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a leader. But you think a lot of them. And because you think so highly of them, it impacts the way you treat them. Honor. Several years ago, our family was invited to be at a gathering where there was going to be a celebrity. Now, not that it makes a huge bit of difference, but there is a part of the storyline that you need to know who the celebrity is. It was Carrie Underwood. And so we were in this gathering where Carrie was going to be, but she was just there in the crowd. She was not like the honored guest. The honored guest was the family. And so I spent time coaching my kids on how we are going to act around celebrity. There are going to be other people that are going to act a fool. And they're going to get out their phones and they're going to take pictures and they're going to ask for autographs and do all that. And we are not going to do that. We're going to act like we've been somewhere before. We're going to carry ourselves differently. And we're going to honor the real guest of the party and not the celebrity. Are we clear about that? Like, yeah, Daddy, we're clear about it. And you know what? They did great. They actually did not. She would be standing right there, and they'd just be almost like ignoring her. They did so well until. Now, this happened to be before Carrie was married, and she was dating at that time Tony Romo, the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. And so all of a sudden, Tony comes walking through the door to pick her up, to take her, like, I guess, out on a date or something. And my kids were completely unprepared. And so he takes her out the door and out in the parking lot, gets in an SUV and drives off. Now, my kids are like running behind them, chasing them. They literally chase the SUV out of the parking lot. And so by this time, I'm now out in the parking lot running to catch them. By the time I catch up with them, I'm like, what are you doing? Have you lost your mind? We talked about this. Yeah, but we didn't talk about Tony Romo. And I looked at it, I don't care. Who cares about Tony Romo? Do you know who I know? I know the King of the Universe. To which my third born, without hesitation, looked at me and said, you know Elvis? King of kings, Lord of lords, King of the universe, Jesus. She went, oh, yeah, that one. Yeah. Honor is all about how we start in our mind, how we think about someone or something, which then leads to how we behave. Now, notice what the Lord says. You got to honor me. You got to think highly of me, which translates into honorable actions. If you honor me, the Lord says, then I will honor you. But watch this. If we think lightly of him, meaning we're dismissive, meaning we don't show him the respect and the honor that he deserves, then he will show us despise. That's strong. Despise. What does that even mean? Well, the word despise here literally means to take no notice, to give no consideration. We may say it this way, you pay them no mind. Let me ask you the question, how many of you would say you need God to pay attention to you? You want God to take notice of your career. You want God to take notice of your family. You want God to take notice of your health. And you want God to take notice of your personal safety. If we want God to take notice, then we have to learn how to show him honor. Now, let's make some quick honor observations from this story of Eli and his sons. Here's the first honor observation I want us to make, and it's this. Jesus followers, we're talking about Christians. Jesus followers are not excused from the rule of honor just because we have a unique standing with God. Followers of Jesus are not excused from the rule of honor just because we have a unique standing with God. If you have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, if you've invited Christ into your heart and life, we'd say it this way, if you've been saved, then you know that you have been sealed by the presence of the Holy Spirit and you have become God's forever child. And as you are God's forever child, it means, listen, you are unconditionally loved and you are fully accepted. That's who you are. And guys, that is an incredible, unique standing that we have with the Almighty. And for those of us in the room who enjoy that standing with God, we can be tempted to think, because of our privileged position, that we are a lock for getting noticed by God, we're a lock for getting favor, we're a lock for being honored by God. I've heard people often have this little exchange. Well, how are you today? Blessed and highly favored. Amen.
But here's the deal. Eli and his sons, they were chosen by God. They were privileged with an assignment as priest. They were even promised of having this special standing with God, but that did not give them a pass on the rule of honor. God did not let them off the honor hook just because of who they were. That should serve as an appropriate warning for all of us. Just as God didn't make special concessions for the house of Eli, God will not let us off the hook for a lack of honor, no matter who we are or what privileges we've been given. We are all called to honor. Here's the second observation. Our honor is going to align us with our Heavenly Father's favor. Our honor is going to align us with our Heavenly Father's favor. Now, I don't want anybody to walk away from this study thinking that we have to earn God's favor. God is incredibly kind. He's incredibly generous in his disposition toward all of his kids. We sing this from time to time. He is a good, good father. Choosing the rule of honor isn't earning his favor. When we choose the rule of honor, we're just simply aligning with what's already on God's heart to do and to give. It's not earning, it's aligning. James chapter 1, verse 17 tells us this: every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. That means that our Heavenly Father is steadfast and He is unyielding in His desire to give us good gifts. Jesus teased this out a little more with a question that He proposed. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "So, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask?" So He's a good, good Father. And it's on His heart to do good things for His forever kids. Our honor doesn't earn that favor. It just lines us up with what's on Father's heart. Now, when we read this passage in 1 Samuel, it reminds us that it would not be wise to reward children who are behaving dishonorably. There's not a parent in the room who read along with me who thinks that it would be a good idea for Eli to keep giving his boys good gifts, because they seem spoiled and entitled and they're dishonoring. If anything, you're screaming, "Cut them off!" Right? Because you can't see the logic in giving good things to dishonorable kids. Listen, by the same token, God cannot and God will not reward dishonorable behavior. Now, some of us might be thinking, how could I ever be dishonoring to the Lord? I love Him. And I'm thankful for the way He's changed my life. And so I don't take His name in vain. I come to church. I reverence the Bible. How could it ever be true? How could I ever be guilty of dishonoring the Lord? This is the point in the message. It's going to take us a little bit of work to get our heart around it, get our head around it. Because when we talk about dishonoring God, listen, it has a lot to do with how we handle a chain of interactions that starts where we are and leads all the way back to Father's heart. How we would be dishonoring to God has a lot to do with a chain of interactions that starts where we are and leads all the way back to the heart of God. When Jesus was training up his disciples and preparing them to be sent out on his behalf, he sent them out with this little declaration. It's found in Matthew 10:40. Jesus said, "Anyone who receives you receives me. Anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me." Now, we're going to refer to this as kind of an honor chain that we can see the links in the chain. Jesus said, "As I send you out on my behalf, anybody who receives you receives me. Anybody who receives me receives the Father who sent me." The word "receive" means to welcome. It means to regard. We could easily substitute the word "honor." Anyone who honors you honors me. Anyone who honors me honors the Father who sent me. That means that this whole process of trying to figure out how in the world could I ever be dishonoring to God, it starts where we are and it leads back to Father's heart. That means that our processing of whether or not are we being honorable or dishonoring, it starts where we are, watch this, and our interactions with the people that Jesus has positioned into our lives. Now, next week, we're going to tease that out a lot more. We're going to talk about the who and the how and the what ifs. But for the moment, just take that in. That the whole idea of us being honoring or dishonoring towards God, it starts in this chain of interactions where we are with the people that Jesus has positioned in our lives. And that chain of honor, listen, it cannot be broken. And what many of us would prefer to do is to jump over the people that have been positioned in our lives and just carry our honor straight to Jesus. Because we love Jesus. And so we want to love Jesus, but not care too much about the people who've been sent into our lives. We want to skip the people and just go to Jesus and then get back to the Father's heart. But here's the message God wants us to hear. You can't break the chain. You can't. You say, "Well, you don't know the people in my life." There's a few good folks, but there's a whole lot that are wackadoodle-doo, and there's no way I could ever envision myself ever being honoring to those people. And so you give yourself permission to break the chain. Because surely God would understand, because these people are crazy. And I'm here to tell you, God does not understand. Because the chain of honor is set. We honor the people that God sends into our lives, which honors Jesus, which honors the Father. And when we are aligned with the Father's heart, it opens the Father's hand. In James, we find this declaration, which helps us to kind of get our arms around this. James tells us, sometimes it, meaning our words, us, right? Sometimes we praise our Lord and Father. Sometimes it, our words, our actions, curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come from the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Pine Lake, this is what we have to chew on. This is what we have to understand about the honor code. You can't break the chain. You've not been given that privilege. Our responsibility is to honor the people Jesus positions in our life, which honors Jesus, which in turn honors the Father. And when we honor the Father and align ourselves with His heart, it opens His hand. Now the favor begins to flow. We can't break the chain. Here's the third. Honor observation. And that is, we are called out to walk by a different cadence than our culture. Let me say to you, I know and I understand how easy it is to get swept into the dishonor of our culture. Right now, with social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, blogs, all those kind of things, people just have such an easier time expressing themselves in dishonorable ways. And because of that, it feels like, maybe it's just me, it feels like there's this exponential race toward dishonoring behavior. Like everything around us, dishonor is right and honor is wrong. And it's so easy for us to just kind of get swept into the flow of culture. Now, honestly, that's not just my opinion. USA Today newspaper, which is not the champion of conservatism, came out with a report in 2012 raising concerns about what they called the rapid degeneration of cultural courtesy. In the article, it states this: there's a coarsening of the culture by people who are now willing to say things to each other that a decade ago could not nor would not say in a face-to-face dialogue. Isn't that true? Even like texting, it's just easier to say and do dishonoring things. The article concludes, we are fast becoming a culture of dishonor. Now, in the Old Testament, it was the responsibility of the priests to live their life with a different cadence. Not so as just to kind of make them superior over the people. They were living at a different cadence of righteousness and holiness to help the people see an example for how they were supposed to live. As we cross over into the New Testament, it's now the responsibility of the church to be the priest, to hear, to listen, to hear a different cadence coming from heaven, and to walk and to live according to that cadence, not the cadence of the culture, cadence of the Lord. The word for church in the New Testament is the word ekklesia, and it means those who are called out ones. 114 times the Bible calls us called out ones to remind us that this is our identity. We're not people that just fit into the cultural flow. People that have to walk to a different cadence. And the call from heaven and the call from Scripture and the call from the Holy Spirit is that we would be people of honor. Honor. Now I know, you know, we sometimes give ourselves a pass because we say, well, it's, you know, it's my mother-in-law, right? Come on. It's my little brother. It's my boss. This is just what we do at work. It's what we do at school. This is how we roll in our family. And so we try to give ourselves a pass, but we're called out ones to move with a different cadence. One of honor. In 1972, there was a husband and father of four who was serving his Baptist church as an usher. And today we have greeters, but I think back then ushering had a little bit more prestige and expectation maybe that went along with it. And it happened to be that he was an usher in this Baptist church and kind of a a typical small southern community, which meant at the time it was all white. On one particular Sunday, he was standing at his post. The services had already started, and for whatever reason, this was a weekend service that was packed. And then walked a young black couple to come to church. That usher looked at them and showed them the same honor that he did with every worshiper that showed up to worship Jesus. He found them a seat. And so there was one place in the middle section about six rows back that he could bring them to find their seat. He walked them down and pointed them towards their seat. And you could hear a collective gasp fill the room as the worshipers in that setting with a prejudicial mindset were offended that someone of color would barge in on their Sunday segregated service. At the end of the worship service, the deacons called for an emergency meeting. We've got to decide what to do with this. And so they concluded to go to that young usher and ask him to resign his position and to apologize to the church for seating a couple in the worship service who should have been redirected to a church down the street that was for them. In a defining moment, that usher said, "I will not resign. And I will treat every person who walks through these doors with the same honor. Because anybody who's coming to worship Jesus knows that Jesus loves everyone, all colors, all backgrounds." And he stood by his conviction. And even if the church in that moment wouldn't be ones who were called out to live with a different cadence, he would be. That man was my dad, my father, who taught me at an early age that we are called out ones. And we have to live according to a different cadence. And church, if you listen carefully, you can hear the Holy Spirit calling all of us in this room to be people of honor. It's easy to get swept into the flow, but I want you to hear your Heavenly Father's call to be people of honor. So let me ask you the question that I promised you all of us would need to answer. Am I an honorable person? The way I think, how I speak, what I do, is it honoring? And if I'm dishonoring, am I aware of the consequences of how that impacts my relationship with the Lord? And instead of today just being like any other day that I come in, I sit and I listen and I go home, maybe I could be so disrupted by the fact that I've let myself become a dishonoring person and knowing how that grieves the Lord, that I would own it today and repent. Let the Lord know I'm sorry and consecrate myself now to a higher cadence to walk with honor. It might even be, listen, that as you think about, am I an honorable person? That as you look through the lens of honor into your heart, maybe not unlike the sons of Eli, where it says they didn't even know the Lord. They're going through all the religious motions, but their dishonor comes from a place that they don't even know God. And maybe you've got religion and maybe you come to church, but this whole idea of honor under the magnifying glass lets you look into your heart. And maybe you're not even sure if you're saved. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of ministry. There'll be prayer partners all over the room. People who would love to pray with you about anything that might relate to what we've talked about today. Maybe there's some struggles that you have with honor. Maybe you've been on the receiving end of someone's dishonorable behavior and it's hurt you, it's wounded you. I want somebody to pray for you. Maybe you want somebody to pray for you. It has nothing to do about anything we talked about, but we're a house of prayer. And so this response time will be an opportunity for us to respond. But I tell you where my heart's really burdened today. It's for the person who realizes their dishonor is because they don't know the Lord. But today you can. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? Right there where you're sitting. Right there where you're sitting. You can open your heart to Jesus. You can pray a simple prayer. Just says, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've been dishonoring. And right now, the best I know how, I open my heart and life to you. Jesus, come into my life. Listen, friend, a prayer that simple or one like it will change who you are. It will change what you're about. It'll change your call in life as God calls you to walk out a life of honor. For the rest of us, we know the Lord. But this is our day to begin to wrestle to the ground the question, am I an honorable person? Let the Holy Spirit begin His work in us of better aligning us with who we are called to be. Not people of the culture, but people who follow Christ. The ultimate example of honor. Jesus, thank you that today you're calling us to be people of honor. And we want to respond to your call with our answer, yes, yes, we will be people of honor in Jesus' name.